Grahesu,
in
the family life
of Vishatha,
who have entered, cha, also, api,
even,
pungsam, of persons, kusala karmanam, engaged in auspicious activities, and one vada, topics about me. Yata is expended. Yamaha, every moment. Na, not. Bandaya, for bondage. Griha, household life. Mata, considered. Translation: those who are engaged in auspicious activities and devotional service certainly understand that the ultimate joy or beneficiary of all the activities is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Thus, when one acts, he offers the results to the Supreme Personality of Godhead and passes life always engaged in the topics of the Lord. Even though such a person may be participating in the family life, he is not affected by the results of his actions.
I request all the devotees to put their mobile in silent or please switch it off.
I request all the devotees to please switch off the mobile or keep it in silent mode.
Generally, a person living in family becomes overly attached to fruit of activity. In other words, he tries to enjoy the results of his activities. A devotee, however, knows that Krishna is the supreme enjoyer and supreme proprietor. Consequently, a devotee does not consider himself a proprietor of any occupation. The devotee always thinks that the Supreme Personality of God is the proprietor. Therefore, the results of his business are offered to the Supreme Lord. One who thus lives in the material world with his family and children never becomes affected by the contamination of the material world. This is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, yagyartat-karmanonyatra-lopayam-karma-vandana-yadartat-karma-pantaya-mukta-sangha-samachara. One who tries to enjoy the results of activities becomes bound by the results. One who offers the results profits to the Supreme Personality of God, however, does not become entangled in the results. This is the secret of success. Generally, people take sannyas to become free from the reactions of brutal activity. One who does not receive the results of his actions but offers them instead to the Supreme Personality of God, his certainty remains in a liberated condition. Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu Rupa Goswami confirms this. Iyanyasya harerdasa karmanam manasagira. Nikila saptivasta sujiva mukta sochate. One engages himself in service to the Lord through his life, wealth, words, intelligence, and everything he possesses, and he will always be liberated in any condition. Such a person is called a jiva mukta, one who is liberated during his lifetime. Devoid of Krishna consciousness, those who engage in material activities simply become more entangled in material bondage. They have to suffer and enjoy the actions and reactions of all activities. This Krishna consciousness movement is therefore the greatest boon to humanity as it keeps one always engaged in Krishna's service. The devotees think of Krishna, act for Krishna, eat for Krishna, sleep for Krishna, and work for Krishna. Thus, everything is engaged in the service of Krishna. A total life in Krishna consciousness saves one from material contamination. As stated by Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj, Krishna Bhajna Jaha, Hoi Anukul, Vishaya Bolya Chag, Taha Hoi Pula. If one is so expert that he can engage everything or dovetail everything in the service of Krishna, to give up the material world would be a great blunder. One should learn how to dovetail everything in the service of the Lord, for everything is connected with Krishna. That is the real purpose of life and secret success. This is reiterated later in the third chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Therefore, without being attached to the fruits of action, one should act as a matter of duty, for by working without attachment, one attains the supreme. The third chapter of Bhagavad Gita specifically considers material activities for the purpose of sense gratification and material activities for the purpose of satisfying the Lord. The conclusion is that these are not one and the same. Material activities for sense gratification are the cause of material bondage. whereas the various activities for the satisfaction of Krishna are the cause of liberation. How the same activity can be the cause of bondage and liberation can be explained as follows. One may get indigestion due to eating too many meal preparations, condensed milk, sweet rice, and so on. But even though there is indigestion or diarrhea and other meal preparation, yoga mixed with black pepper and salt will immediately cure these maladies. In other words, one meal preparation can cause indigestion and diarrhea, and another meal preparation can cure them. If one is placed in material opulence due to the special mercy of the Supreme Personality of God, it should not consider that opulence a cause of bondage. When a mature devotee is blessed with material opulence, he does not become affected adversely, for he knows how to employ material opulence in the service of the Lord. There are many such examples in the history of the world. There were kings like Prithu Maharaj, Prahlad Maharaj, Janaka, Dhruva, Vyasa, Manu, and Maharaj Ikshvaku. All of these were great kings and were especially favored by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. If a devotee is not mature, the Lord will take away all his opulence. This principle stated by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Yasyaham anugrinami haraste tadunam shayi. My first mercy is shown to my devotees to take away all his material opulence. Material opulence, detrimental to devotional service, is taken away by the Supreme Lord. Whereas a person who is mature in devotional service is given all material facilities. Translation: those who are engaged in auspicious activities and devotional service certainly understand that the ultimate enjoyer or beneficiary of all activities is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Thus, when one acts, he offers his results to the Supreme Personality of Godhead and passes life always engaged in topics of the Lord. Even though such a person may be participating in family life, he is not affected by the results of his action. So here it talks about kusala karma, or skillful activities. So of course in the Bhagavad Gita this phrase is also mentioned. So the skill in doing action, is that when one does action, one should not be adversely affected. So generally, if one is living as a household and one does activities, he accrues karma. On the other hand, the vanaprastha sannyasis, though they do activities, they minimize their activities and they do it without attachment, so they don't incur any reactions. So, how is it possible for a person in the household life not to develop bondage and material or karma? So, if he acts in a certain way, or skillful in his karma, kusala karma, then also he does not incur reactions. If that's the case, it doesn't make any difference whether one is a sannyasi or a householder or a vanaprastha. So the key to all of these is that one should not be attached to the results of one's activities. This, of course, we call Nishkama Karma Yoga. And this, of course, is praised in Bhagavad Gita in Chapter 2 and Chapter 3. And, of course, in Chapter 12 of Bhagavad Gita, which says, well, if you can't do bhakti, then at least do Nishkama Karma. However, we should not think that Nishkama Karma is bhakti. Simply to do activities without a desire for a result is not the definition of bhakti.
செய்யும் காரியங்களின் பலங்களுமே பற்றப்படாமல் செயல்படுவது பக்தி என்றார். பக்தி விளக்கமடைய
Bhakti is defined as doing activities to please the Supreme Lord.
Bhakti என்றால் பகவானை திருப்திக்காக செயல்படுவது.
And Nishkama Karma is simply not being attached to one's activities, not necessarily for the Supreme Lord, but only no attachment for oneself. Because there's still an attachment to activities in Nishkama Karma Yoga, it does not literally give liberation. In the third canto, Kapila describes that those who do Nishkama Karma can go to Brahmaloka. But this also is not liberation. That is why, after doing karma, sakama karma, and then nishkama karma, one is advised to take to jnana. Jnana leads to liberation, but nishkama karma in itself does not. Of course, we will see verses in Bhagavad Gita and other places praising Nishkama Karma Yoga. Yes, you can get free from bondage. But, as I said, we cannot take this literally. So, when the householder is doing his kusala karma, or skillful activities to get free from bondage, he is not only doing nishkama karma. So here it says, Madhvartayatayama, he spends his time absorbed in hearing about my activities and doing activities for me. So, kusala karma is not just karma yoga or nishkama karma yoga. Actually, it means here performing bhakti. Now, of course, some activities require great qualification. So to practice Jnana Yoga and Astanga Yoga, generally we have to give up household life. And the reason is that it requires great detachment. That's the qualification. In bhakti, however, the same qualification is not there. So even if one is a householder and has attachments, he can begin the process of bhakti. And by doing bhakti and not doing the other processes, still he surpasses all the other processes. So therefore it says Nabandaya, he does not become bound up by karma of the material world. Of course, to be free of karma is also not the goal of bhakti. It is a secondary side effect. But it is achieved without any extra endeavor. The endeavor is simply to please the Lord. And what is the goal of that? To please the Lord. The activity itself is also the goal. So it does not have another ultimate motive. So it is this type of activity which is completely selfless that brings about such a result. How is it possible for an attached householder to carry out this process of bhakti? So it is possible for him to do this, but it is not possible for him to do jnana and yoga. And the reason is that in the process of bhakti, we do not stop the senses and the mind from acting as we have to do in jnana and astanga yoga, but we engage the senses. We do not stop desire, but we change that desire. Instead of desiring things for ourselves, we desire things for the happiness of Krishna. So, all people can engage themselves in this process of bhakti by engaging the senses. Very few people are qualified to stop their senses and minds from acting. So, by engaging ourselves in the service of the Lord, we have a way in which all people, whether they're grihasthas or sannyasis or vanaprasas or brahmacharis or anybody else, they can all engage themselves and they can get free from the material world, and more than that, they can attain a place in the spiritual world. In the context of this particular chapter, the Lord is saying this because He is going to engage the prachetas in household life. So He is encouraging them to say that they will not be unsuccessful if they perform bhakti properly. They can still be successful even if they are married. And if they engage in bhakti properly, this means that their interest is the Lord, not their own enjoyment. Therefore, they will use everything that they have not for themselves, but for devotional service. So in other words, their position of wealth becomes useful for glorifying the Lord. So that is basically what is said in this verse. Well, technically so, But even in the Vedic system, they have four types of brahmacharis. One is a brahmachari for one day or 3 days or whatever. He gets married right after that. And so they were, even in Vedic times, they realized, oh, not all people were going to be good brahmacharis. So they study the Veda for 1 day, 2 days, 1 year maybe, or 25 years. So the 25 years they actually qualify brahmachari. So they realize there were all types of different qualified people. Some would be more qualified than others. So in other words, the main idea was that at least they caught the Vedic mantras to purify themselves with, even if they didn't study the Vedas completely. And though technically they should be renounced if they live in the Gurukul, if they're only going to be brahmachari for a few days, that's not going to work either. So they realized some people were not going to be self-qualified after all. But it was preferable, of course, that for some time at least they renounced.
அது குரு மகாராஜா வேதகாலங்களில் கூட நான்கு வகையான பிரம்மச்சாரிகள் கொடுக்கப்பட்டுள்ளன. ஒரே ஒரு நாள் பிரம்மச்சாரியாக இருப்பவர், மூணு நாள் பிரம்மச்சாரியாக இருப்பவர், 25 நாட்கள் வரை பட்டப்பேட்டையை வளர்த்து கொள்ளக்கூடியவர். இவரே ஒரு பிரம்மச்சாரியாக தகுதி பெற்றவராகும். ஆக இவர்கள் கிரகஸ்தாசிரமத்தில் அடியெடுத்து வைக்கும் பொழுது
without desire. But that is implying he has to accept the soul. Not necessarily. So many people don't want bad reactions in the future. So if we are attached to the results of our activities, generally that's going to give some bad results, because we'll do all sorts of greedy activities which go against the law. So one becomes more detached, then one is more likely to follow the rules properly and not engage in sinful activity, so one gets a good birth. So actually, the temptation for doing nishkama karma is more enjoyment in the material world, or at least peaceful existence in the material world. It does lead, ultimately, to a position of less material desires, so therefore that's favorable for jnana. So nishkama karma yoga leads to sattva guna, and sattva guna is a qualification for jnana. And then one understands atma, etc.
மற்ற செயல்கள் கடவுளோடு பிடிக்கின்றன.
Well, yes, the grihastha has to support a family and work and whatever. So part of his activities are, we can say, not directly bhakti, like hearing and chanting and remembering. Those are direct bhakti. And the other part, he's working or doing whatever, taking care of the family. So, therefore, he's not always engaged in devotional activities, direct devotional activities. However, the other activities that he does somehow should be connected with bhakti. In other words, the job is used to get some money so he can raise a family. And why is he going to raise a family? At least they should try to be Krishna conscious. Huh? So there should be some connection of all these activities with devotional service, even if it's indirect bhakti. So in this way, though he does engage himself not always in bhakti activity, direct bhakti activities, nevertheless everything is connected with that. At the same time, he doesn't have, let's say, the same amount of time to engage in devotional activities as a sannyasi or a vanaprastha or a brahmachari. That, of course, is the negative aspect, we could say, of the household life, which he has to accept. If he doesn't like that position, of course, then he can renounce and become a vanaprastha or a sannyasi. Ashramas are not so much in consideration. One can be in any ashram, but you may not spend all this time engaged in Krishna service. So the main point of bhakti is that whatever bhakti we do, we should do that sincerely for the Supreme Lord. So we're interested in the quality of the bhakti. So Lord Chaitanya has said whether one is a householder or a sannyasi or whatever, that is not the important fact. The important fact is that you perform the bhakti. But we do the bhakti according to qualification. Some people can do 2% bhakti, some can do 5% bhakti, in terms of time that is. Some can do 50% bhakti, some can do 80% bhakti. So in this way, different people have different capacities. And that capacity, of course, may be there in any of the ashramas. Yeah, we can find capable or incapable brahmacharis or vanaprasas or sannyasis also. And as a grihastha, we may find very highly qualified grihasthas than most of the time in Krishna service.
Yeah.
And even if they have to spend a lot of time on material activities, as maybe the Prachetas would have to do by ruling and doing so many things and raising families and whatever, still, that does in no way affect or put a blemish upon their bhakti. In fact, a few verses earlier, the Supreme Lord said, "Oh, and I promise, you will attain me. You will go to the spiritual world." So they never took sannyas after. They didn't take sannyas at all. They were brahmacharis at first, but they never took sannyas. But they attained success. Qualification, yeah. What is the best position he can be in to steadily perform his bhakti? Yeah, similar. Well, if he understands he's not making progress, then it means there's something wrong. Yeah. So in other words, if the bhakti is not giving a good result, that means that his mind is somehow disturbed or whatever, he's not doing it properly, then he tries to correct that. And if part of the problem is simply that he's not married and he should get married, then you have to think about that. It may not be the only problem, it could be other problems also why his bhakti is not advancing, but that is one of the reasons perhaps. So it does require introspection, of course, on one's own self. Other persons can tell you, but actually it is best that one introspects oneself and finds out. Because the person knows himself the best in one sense.
What do you find in the shastra? A lot of verses condemning married life. Which can go wrong? Here you find it's crazy.
Yeah, we'll find both. Therefore, we have to see. Yeah? Just as Krishna also condemns karma, but he praises karma in Bhagavad Gita also. Or he'll condemn Varnashram system completely in the Chaitanya Charitamrita as being secondary, useless, or whatever. Then sometimes he will find the Bhagavad is praised, like anything, in 3rd canto, or 11th canto, or 7th canto. He gets praised. So we have to see the final conclusion of scripture, not to see, you know, some statements that is called half chicken logic. But we isolate statements and take it as absolute when it's only relative. What's that? Yeah. Well, it's like the hands and the feet and everything is necessary for the body to survive. So like the sudras are like the feet and the kshatriyas are like the arms. But we need both to survive in the whole body. So similarly, everybody in the varnashram has their particular duties and they're all okay. And they're doing according to qualifications. So they have no fault if they follow properly. There's no fault in that. But if they don't do bhakti, the whole thing is useless. Huh? And the more bhakti they do, the better. And if it's a little bhakti, fine, at least that's acceptable and they get some result. If they don't do any bhakti, the whole system is useless. Huh? And if they neglect the varnashram system, and the varnas and ashrams complete, but they do bhakti, still there's no fault. No fault. If they neglect the ashrams and the varnas, but they do bhakti, no fault. So you can do or follow or not follow Varnashram. That's the option you have.
But ultimately, the main principle is bhakti. Because if you do bhakti, whatever purposes are fulfilled by the ashrams and the vairams will actually be accomplished through bhakti automatically anyway. Because jnana and vairagya are automatically revealed through bhakti. Well, as long as we do bhakti along with it. If we don't do bhakti along with it, then it is not transcendental. It's still, we're stuck in the material world again. Yeah? Varnas and ashrams without bhakti are material, completely material.
Thank you.